First, this prologue is called Get Ravana. Lord of the cosmos, Vishnu, was brought back to heaven from a stellar meditation by many gods now stooped at his feet. Said one, semi-stooped in the saffron light, O Lord, whilst we in thousand-day prayers for peace are bent, Ravana is bish-boshing our kingdoms. Another god butted in, O Lord, with only a wink, he splashed even our oceans into a coma. No wonder the gods were gurgling with collywobbles. Ravana was toasting their earthly and galactic worlds. By soaking the energy from everything he nulled, Ravana was now a supreme being becoming. But who was this scallywag, this gunda? Lord of the cosmos, Vishnu flashed umpteen visions to the gods that displayed Ravana's path to glory. In the first flashback, Vishnu displayed Ravana being born with 10 heads and 10 pairs of arms. Then he showed Ravana, the teenager, on a hillock, meditating for so many non-stop years that smoke was issuing from his head and dulling the heavens. The gods were constrained and had to grant Ravana with great mental and physical powers known as boons. So many boons empowering Ravana that he could fly through the air on the power of a thought alone. Yet Ravana hankered after more boons, so many boons that even Vishnu, according to the laws of nature, had to hand them over. Vishnu showed Ravana earning these boons by fasting atop a mountain, dining only on the air's moisture for 100 years. Boon-packed, rock-hard Ravana was now shown standing on a toe without shifting a muscle through heat wave or whirlwind. One tough nut toe while simultaneously reciting Vishnu's beloved mantra, for 900 solid years. No surprise, in Vishnu's next vision, Ravana was losing his mind and was holding a blade to cut off his own 10 heads. Vishnu, from on high, stopped him by asking what he is wanting. Ravana boomed back, Am I not a worthy king of the universe, Lord? Vishnu must have hoped Ravana would become pure Shanti, a bit like himself. Yet soon as Vishnu's divine engine touched across each Ravana atom in a somewhat unparalleled way, Ravana went bonkers. His 10 heads, his 10 sets of arm, trapezoid, rump, knuckle and whatnot, juddered tsunami volcanically into a hardcore fierce firming up. His every milli-inch was muscling, pinnacling with indestructibilityness. Roaring Ravana simply leapt through a spatial portal and pegged it straight down deep into the 7th and lowest underworld, the Swargaloka, to break free the bulk of his Rakshasi race. Vishnu's final vision displayed Ravana and his Rakshasi chums lording it from an earthly island. The gods pitched in chaos, chorused, What is to be done, Lord? Vishnu revealed a loophole in Ravana's boons. It's true, Ravana sought immunity from demons and deities, but he never sought immunity from mankind. So who's to say a man can't make him meet his maker? Said a god flabbergasted, How is it a measly ilk can dash him, Lord? Vishnu said that as the power bestower, he himself would become the power breaker. He would end this havoc by incarnating himself as a human, god-killing juggernaut. And it kind of goes on for a bit longer for the prologue. But I'll just read just this one other bit. This is on the back of assistant from Mark. So I've divided my book into prologue, epilogue, and five individual books. And this is from the second book. And this is Rama, Vishnu's incarnated as Rama now. along with his brother Lakshmana. They've been trained up into becoming warriors. Now they've come to, they're from Ayodhya, and they're going to Mithila to just have a rest, and there Rama's going to meet his future bride. So this is called, Was That Love at First Sight? Fan your imagination on Ayodhya's lookalike, Mithila, with its towers, turrets, domes, all golden or pastel, and in a gentle season, the ground glittering with cast-off jewellery, a snapped necklace dashed mid-dance, or nuisance diamonds during a passionate embrace discarded. A no Mithilan craving to bag the casual chucked-away pearl, for such is the manner of the rich among the rich, in caring sharing Mithilan fertility, that perfect match for an Ayodhyan. Rama and Lakshmana fanning their gaze on swings strapped to trees, swaying with couples. And nearby, the girls wore a length of Kashoma cotton that whirled about the body and pointed to the S-type anklets and pointed to the bell-top toe ring on each toe. Each toe ring specially designed to suit that toe's darling mien. And speaking a while longer of toe rings, some girls wore the cheeky come-on rings that were double-bosomed and filled with a tinsy knocker dingling in its own tantalising tune. Hi, hi. What's more, all girls strode about wondrously barefooted, all rehearsed love tunes or danced to soft gong-gongs. No wonder Rama and Lakshmana smiled to the music of their hooting, their panting. The brothers walked past a hotshot array of wide-moustached, colgi-turbinated archers come from near and far to put their pinging bows to the test. And there, whilst by the stream, Rama's eyes lifted upwards, and there across on a balcony, from where the cool breeze blew off the balmy sea, a woman in shining Koshiyam silk with a spotted deer border, and with eyes brilliant as the lotus, and with her feet all of a sudden rooted, so she looked the double of the goddess Lakshmi. Rama's second take on who is that? Is that the beauty of the world across on the balcony observing the jamboree? And her eyes fell according to the exact second of the cosmic dial that we call fate, on Rama's eyes, at the same time as Rama's had flown startled upon hers. Their heartbeats doubled on the same count and hearkened in a shared breath. The hearkening damsel was Sita, who was taking in her familiar Mithilan view when she fell on a feeling of greater familiarity, punctuated by the sorrow of utter unknowing. Whilst Rama dazed at her beauty, Sita dazed at his, and thought to herself how this must be the veiled recognition that we call love at first sight. Together they had walked, eon after eon, fresh as bold new lovers, under the starry lanes in heaven. He is Vishnu and she as Lakshmi. 'Twas in this incarnation, under all the depredations a human endures, and a lapsed memory being amongst our most humbling torments, through which each looked upon the other, a stranger.